Welcome to the School of Faith. We're on part three of the Foundations of Life. Last week we talked about living out the word, a true sign of discipleship. This week we're going to be talking about the proof of discipleship. Your attitude towards God's word is your attitude towards God himself. You do not love God more than you love his word. You do not obey God more than you obey his word. You do not honor God more than you honor God's word. You do not have more room in your heart and life for God than you have for his word. Whether it's your attitude, whether it's your love, whether it's your obedience, whether it's your honoring, whether it's that place in your heart where Christ abides, you're reflecting the word of God is so absolutely important, because the Bible tells us that it is in following or living out his commandments that we show our honor or obedience to Christ. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The scalpel in our lives to help and touch and minister unto us and to help us to become the believer we're supposed to be is the Word of God. And if we'll embrace and take the scalpel of God's Holy Spirit and allow the Lord to minister through the Scripture to teach us, to reprove us, to correct us, and help us in training, we'll become all that God wants us to be. Discipleship is a process of pruning, refining, reshaping, and altogether allowing the work of the Holy Spirit, allowing the doctor, our Lord, the ability to shape our spirit man. The inside part of us where God's presence abides and where your inner man is developed to express through your outward man, the body. The absolute devotion and wisdom of Almighty God, which can positively affect your entire world, can be touched and ministered and seen its greatest effect through our submission to the work of the Holy Spirit. John 6:63 tells us that the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. It is through his word made alive by the Holy Spirit that we receive illumination and understanding, which allows us to embody in our lives the very principles and anointing of God that empowered the Christ to walk on this earth and touch and change so many lives for eternity. Your response to the word determines its effect. James 1:21, therefore rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome the meekness, the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. We need to receive with meekness. We need to be humble and receive the implanted word of God. The word of God can't just be out there somewhere. It can't just be floating about. It needs to become a part of us. Lesson or so earlier, we talked about making things personal, and the word of God needs to become personal. That way, those things that are of this world and the wickedness of it will not take place, will not take root in us. Because if they do, they can destroy and crack the foundations of what Christ is trying to build within the fabric of our lives. How you respond to the preached or taught word makes all the difference in the world. You can either reject the word of truth and not embrace what the Spirit is saying unto the church, or you can receive it and express it through your thoughts and actions in your everyday life. Building upon the foundation of faith you've received from Christ is so very important. This embodiment or imitation of Christ is the proof of your becoming Christ's disciple, because the word is being shown through. For it is an outward expression of the life that we touch or have been touched by the fabric of God's creative power and his word, which becomes alive through our using, witnessing, and transferring its life-giving flow into our hearts and minds through the power of God. We need to become imitators of Christ, being those who reflect the nature of God and see the work of God in us. 1 Corinthians 1:6, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you. We need to receive the word of God, and we need to allow the testimony of Christ, his life, his example, to be that which we want to emulate and live out of and be a part of. Children have never been good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them, James Baldwin once said. Kids love to imitate their parents, whether for better or worse. My family likes to talk about the fact that my dad used to always go in his pocket and look for his billfold and check his money in it. My family today even makes fun of me, saying he's just like his father because he seems to do it all the time. Children imitate. They look at things and they begin to embrace things. We need to imitate what we see and how the Holy Spirit shows us to live in Christ Jesus. As children, we need to imitate and take upon ourselves the characteristics of Christ. It might start first by just following the example of the individual who led us to Christ. little things like reading the Bible or changing the way we talk or faithfulness to the house of God. Wherever it begins in most instances, it is through a godly example. I personally am fortunate. I had a wonderful pastor's son who loved God and for the most part lived the gospel. His attitude and love for God blessed me in so many ways, and his example and faithfulness to God is something I looked up to. His father later became more of the person I patterned myself after, his singing, preaching, and teaching. It helped shape my early years of Christian development and ministry. How thankful I am to God for godly saints whom I was able to learn from or imitate in so many ways. Disciples of Christ are progressive. Luke 9:62. Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." It is so easy to look back and look at our failures over and over again or testing points and wonder. But the Lord wants us to move ahead. We can learn from our experiences, but let's not just keep them in the back of our minds constantly reminding us of mistakes. Let's press on towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God, that place of power and authority. He was both the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. I want you to know that the Lord wants us to perfect our faith. He has implanted his word in us, and he wants to live out his love and grace through us. As New Testament believers, we can be thankful for what God has done for us and appreciate his precious work in our lives. However, we must be progressive in our faith and always look to or build upon the faith that has been delivered unto us, not allowing our spiritual foundations to be weak with age or spiritual living water stagnant because of lack of a fresh flow of the Holy Spirit within us. We are overcomers whom can become more than conquerors through Christ's power and love, ever evolving and ministering the gospel of Christ to all those we come in contact to, either by our example or the very words we speak, being living stones which can lead others to the work of the cross and the love of God in Christ Jesus. Faith wants to become a part of us, and faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, a very familiar portion of Scripture reads, "So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes from the word of Christ." Sometimes we don't like it as parents when kids regurgitate things we've said that, you know, might not be what we really want them to say in public. We want them to catch all the good stuff, but sometimes they catch some of the bad stuff too. Thank God we have such a great example in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can catch the good stuff and emulate it. We need to remember to always feed our spirit on the Word of God. It will build up our holy faith and encourage us in our everyday walk. For we are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. The body or flesh needs natural food and water to sustain it. The soulless realm, which is the mind and will or emotions, needs spiritual bread, the Word, and the water of the Holy Spirit to maintain it. The spirit man needs an everyday anointing of God's Holy Spirit and the very presence of the one Jesus so that we express Jesus to others and not we ourselves. We must increase, and our will must take a back door to the work and the desire of the Holy Spirit, because ultimately his place in our life is most important. And so our increasing in stature in Christ should be that which emulates the Lord, because he must increase in true respect and we must decrease in our selfishness and our desires. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The teaching that the human person consists of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. The two entitled soul and spirit are carefully distinguished in both Old and New Testaments. The word soul, translated from nephesh in Hebrew and psyche in Greek, represents the living principle of the body and is shared by man and the animals. On the fifth day of creation, as God created animal life in the oceans and birds, he designated them as having life, Genesis 1:20, or nephesh. On the sixth day, man became a living soul, Genesis 2:7 as well. The soul refers to desires and appetites, both of the flesh and the mind, perhaps summed up by the word consciousness. plants, while alive in the biological sense, are not conscious. This may also be true for certain other organisms classified as animals by modern biology, and therefore not alive in the biblical sense, nor does their death imply biblical death. The spirit is quite different. God himself breathed into man's nostrils the breath, the rosh of life, Genesis 2:7, thereby imparting only to mankind some measure of his own spiritual nature. That makes all the difference for us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is noted or noteworthy that while God identified as spirit, John 4:24, the Greek pneuma, nowhere is he identified as soul. He stands separate from mere beings, not driven by the same desires as animals and man. The spirit, then, is the recreated image of God. And that spirit is what drives us, the power of the Lord within us, in man, separating us from animals while binding us to God. The spiritual side makes us possibly all that God wants us to be, and we need to tune in to what the Lord desires for us to be. Disciples make or reproduce other disciples. Are being able to, just as others have helped us and been an example to us, are being able to help and be an example to others is so important. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything, not just what they pick out, but choosing to obey everything that I have commanded you. That's talking of the Lord. The Lord has commanded. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. We are not alone. He is with us to the end of the age. A little story I'm going to give you here in closing is about a shoe manufacturer. Picture a large manufacturing plant in your town or city that produces shoes. The management has invested great sums of money and many man hours into the plant to produce the finest shoes possible. Money has been spent on salaries for employees, machinery for shoemaking, and the materials from which the shoes are to be made. The plant is now in operation with hundreds of workers scurrying to and fro. Machines are running full blast and activities at a maximum. One day the president asked the production manager, "How many shoes have we produced so far?" "None," the manager answers. "None?" the president explains. "How long have we been in operation?" "2 years." "2 years and still no shoes?" "That's right," the manager says. "No shoes, but we are really busy. In fact, we have been so busy that we all are nearly tired out. We've been very active at our jobs." The management would probably be very concerned, fire somebody, try to find out what the problem was. If we now put a cross on top of that building and transform it into the church on the corner, your church, we find much activity going on. Men and women are working hard. The budget is higher this year than ever. The objective, however, is to produce disciples. Has all that money and man hour in your church gone in the production of disciples for Jesus Christ? I wonder. May God bless you, and have a great day till our next lesson.